Let me jump on into today's monologue, The Right Side Way. And I'll just tell you right up front, yesterday I was honored to be the speaker at the Constitution Day event hosted by the Daughters of the American Revolution and Athens State University. And it was a great time. And so many folks were there who also listened to the show. So thank you all. Thank you for being there. Thank you for the affirmation of getting to meet people on the other side of the microphone, if you will. And while I was there, I met a man who serves on the county commission. And I remarked to him that, hey, you know, serving an office, man, any office, even locally, like a county commission, that's not easy. And he laughed and he said, no, it's not. But then he said something profound that I really appreciated. He said, but what really matters is trying to always remember to be a public servant and not a politician. Well, hear, hear. Absolutely right. Be a public servant, not a politician. I've seen several stories and videos over the past few days that indicate what I've been sensing for a while, that people, real people, people everywhere, are getting fed up with politicians forgetting that they're supposed to be public servants and dictating their every move, restricting the basic functions of life, telling them that the problems that they're feeling or seeing or actually experiencing are just not real. Well, at every turn, it appears that there's a callous disregard by too many in government when good, honest, salt-of-the-earth folks are merely expressing their discontent. You can see it in the faces of everyday citizens, hear it in their voices as they speak up in city council meetings or school boards, only to be shut down by politicians who either don't want to hear it or choose to disregard it. And sometimes those citizens get rowdy, and I know that, but many times they're just expressing their concerns and asking them to be addressed. Like recently, when citizens went to the city council meeting in Sylacauga, Alabama, and expressed concerns about van loads of Haitian migrants showing up unannounced, only to have the arrogance and dismissive attitude of the council president, Tiffany Nix, who shut them down and intoned that the citizens who dared to speak up about the issue were probably racists. Attitudes like that from people like Tiffany Nix, who's apparently forgotten that she's a public servant and she's turned into a politician, well, attitudes like that do nothing to help. In fact, they draw people out to say and do more. I mean, if you're going to leave the average Joe and Jane out in the cold without any options, even mistreat them, that's not what a public servant does. That's what a politician does. It's really something to behold, and I don't mean in a good way. I was reminded of a story that came out a couple of years ago. You might remember that our neighbor to the north, Canada, a place that used to be free, had a massive public demonstration of civil disobedience that became known as the Freedom Convoy. Remember that? Truckers from all over the nation drove to the nation's capital, parked their rigs right in the way of the Capitol building to protest government policies that were impacting their ability to have a job. Well, in the mix of all of that, there's a video that went viral. You can still look it up. Canadian great-grandfather, 78-year-old Jerry Charlebois. Jerry Charlebois, 78 years old, about 5'2". Mr. Charlebois was seen in a video that made the rounds on social media as he was being wrestled and cuffed by two full-size Canadian policemen. I mean, at one point, little old guy went down to the ground. He was unarmed. He was wearing his plaid flannel pajama pants, standing next to his old Dodge minivan. The officers inexplicably just jammed him around, took him into custody. I couldn't help but thinking that this did not look normal. I mean, what was his crime? What did he do? What in the world could this little old man have possibly done? And if you saw him, you look at the video, you'll feel sorry for him immediately because he literally is about a 5'2" man in his pajamas, an older guy, 78 years old, a great-grandfather, being wrestled around by two of Canada's finest. His crime was pretty awful. As the Freedom Convoy made its way past him in Ottawa, Jerry Charlebois honked his horn and gave him a thumbs up. This is where I pause for effect. You heard me right. His crime was that he honked his horn and gave the convoy a thumbs up. You see, the mayor of Ottawa had just recently enacted a citywide ordinance against, you guessed it, horn honking. Horn honking. The mayor didn't like all these protesters and their supporters, so he made sure they couldn't honk their horns in his city limits without facing the wrath of local government. I kid you not. You can watch the video. Like I said, it's still out there. And there he is, bless his heart, with the officer confirming that he has it written down that horn honking is not to be allowed in Ottawa now. And Jerry Charlebois was arrested, and two officers were seen escorting him to their squad car while passersby shouted at the officers to please not do this to an old man. He was eventually fined $118 for honking his horn. Well, me personally, I hope that Mr. Charlebois, who said the next day how sore and bruised he was from being manhandled, Hope you became the poster boy, the poster on the wall, if you will, of disobedient civilians everywhere, because that's where we are now. Civilized civilians conducting civil disobedience civilly needs to happen more. I'm serious. But listen, I'm not trying to sound trite. I'm not trying to make light of it. This is a real thing. More so than any other time in recent history, we're seeing people conduct the very essence of civil disobedience all over the world as various forms of government, local, state, and federal, have all coalesced in some areas or operated independently in others to curtail the most basic of fundamental freedoms like freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, the right to earn a living. And before any of my liberal trolls want to bow up and say, well, the Constitution doesn't allow you to do certain things, and you can't infringe on my well-being, and Canada's not the United States, or other such lame responses, let me remind you all that there are fundamental rights that are typically enshrined in virtually every society. As a lawyer, I can tell you that we have often referred to such bodies of unchanging moral principles as what's called the natural law. Certain rights that, whether or not they are enacted by the black-letter law of society, are nonetheless enshrined in the natural sense by God or nature or reason. All of this thing with Jerry Charlebois and the things in Canada and what we're seeing in places like Sylacauga, it all reminded me of a thing that happened back when I was younger. They still refer to it these days as Tractorcade. The Tractorcade, during the Jimmy Carter administration. There were policies under Carter that were just killing family farms, causing massive numbers of farm foreclosures. Over 3,000 farmers drove their tractors to D.C., jammed up traffic, and camped out on the Washington Mall seeking a change in policy. And yeah, they got the attention of the president. Henry David Thoreau, he argued in his work that was aptly titled Civil Disobedience, that a man must not, quote, for a moment or in the least degree, resign his conscience to the legislator. Thoreau went on to add, it is of no consequence whether a man breaks the law or not. These positions, by the way, are antithetical to the overbearing notions of state-worshipping progressives who, for like over 2 years during COVID, demanded that we shut down, declared a perpetual state of emergency, wanted to put masks on children. Sure. Schools cut off, churches denied the right to assembly. Whatever. Businesses declared non-essential and shut down involuntarily. Some of them went out of business altogether. Makes sense. Not really. Not anymore. Those days are behind us. I hope that we learned lessons from watching things happen during COVID. I hope that we learned lessons by seeing little Jerry Charlebois be arrested and manhandled for honking his horn. I hope we've learned lessons from seeing people like Tiffany Nix forget that she's a public servant in the city of Sylacauga and just cut people off and call them racist because they dared to be concerned about van loads of Haitian migrants. I hope that we're going to see more and more that in some form of civil sense, with civility, that civilians will find their means to conduct civil disobedience. Because every once in a while, a government needs to hear no. And I'm not talking about riots. I'm not talking about destruction like the left always pursues. I'm not advocating for violence at all, but I am advocating for not sitting idly by, not staying quiet, not just taking it because some local hack politician or some bureaucrat decided they don't value your freedoms. So what are we to do then? I'll tell you what we do. We collectively say no. If they ever come back with another one of those societal shutdowns like they did during COVID, then business owners need to start saying, I refuse to close down. Citizens need to say things like, I'm going to go to my church on Sunday to worship collectively like we're urged to do in Hebrews 10:24. School boards need to say that masks are at most optional, but if you have concerns, though, because your small town had a busload of people dropped off with no plan for their support, who don't speak the language, and you don't know where they're from or how they got there, then you should be allowed to ask your questions and demand some answers and not leave until you're satisfied that they are at least listening to you. And you're not racist, by the way, for needing that clarity. What else can you do? Well, if you hear a group is organizing to stand in the public square and call for basic freedoms, consider adding your voice to it. If social media shuts you down, then go to a different platform that welcomes your dissenting opinion. Because the average Joes and Janes, the right-side ruffians out there, they have made themselves heard, and we will continue to see overreaching arms of government restricting the natural laws that give us all rights as humans to live freely. But we have to say no occasionally. And if you ever run across old Jerry Charlebois, you tell him I got a right-side ruffian t-shirt for him and honk your horn for freedom. And that's a wrap for the right-side way. Yeah. Civilized civilians conducting civil disobedience. It doesn't have to be violent. It just has to be the kind of thing that government takes note because they recognize you are willing to say no, and they have forgotten to be public servants. Remind them, over and over again until they get it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.